Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. So I got to tell you, there's a lot of folks that check out the show, but there's a lot of folks that also check out the podcast. And we got so many options here for you to hear portions of the show, or for that matter, to listen live no matter where you are. And all that stuff happens just by going to our website, rightsideradio.org. I mean, right, literally, I was just showing somebody something this morning. They were asking about a book, and I said, oh, yeah, that's on the Right Side recommended reading list. We've got that whole thing about the Alamo Scouts I just did a moment ago. There's a book on the recommended reading list called the Ghost Soldiers, and the Alamo Scouts are included in that book. All that to say, every bit of that's on our website, rightsideradio.org. So if you want to, you know, listen live because you're traveling and you're getting outside the overly broad range of our AM/FM capability, just know it does not matter. I always say anywhere in the big wide world, go to the World Wide Web, go to rightsideradio.org, click on Listen Live, and no matter where you is, there we is, and that's there. And plus, we've got like 53, almost 54,000 downloads of the podcast. We're just cranking those out daily. And a lot of folks, by the way, our second biggest audience, California still, California. Hello, California. We love you out there. Thanks for listening in. But anyway, all that is available on rightsideradio.org. Hey, I got a caller online. Oh, Sparky's calling in. Hey, Sparky, how you doing today?
Hey, Phil. I love your monologue. I agree with 110% with everything you said and the cultural and sociological long game that we fighters have to be prepared, though. But it was ironic because my brain was going in the direction of what if I was a far left liberal listening to Phil's monologue, and how ironically, in a time when a sham hearing is going on in a sham town over imagined charges of Donald Trump inciting violence, how many far leftists would listen to your very coherent and intelligent monologue and view that as an incitement to fight and therefore be prepared in stirring people up to fight physically and or with weapons. And I'm listening to your entire great talk, and I thought, this is exactly what somebody who thinks this that way is going to view what Phil had to say.
Yeah, they probably are. I'm sure I trigger people on a daily basis, but I live for the trigger. Apparently, I think yesterday was my monologue was yesterday. Manhood is not disposable, and I'm pretty sure I ticked off some people on that one too. But well, you know, I can't make them not be scared. The proof is in what the results are. And if you see me picking up arms and telling people to follow me, then that's a different story. But right now, the allusion there is to the fact that we do have to stay active and engaged. And like you said, be in it for the long game, because it's a culture war.
Yeah, no. And if you sit back and let what I consider an extremely small number of people with what I consider a minority of opinion and living in a fantasy bubble run our lives, in this case, run our government, and therefore ruin our lives, then we're going to be completely hosed just by our own gentility, by our own lack of desire to be a shrieking, fighting, combative maniac, which is one tactic the far left seems to enjoy, and that being an obnoxious, screaming nitwit.
You just nailed him pretty good. That sounds like libs of TikTok about every 30 seconds.
Yeah. Anyway, enjoyed it. You have a wonderful Friday afternoon and a good weekend.
Yeah, man. You too. Thanks, Barky. Appreciate you calling in. Thanks for your compliments too. By the way, he brought up something a moment ago, the sham hearing in the sham city. So, Copper, did you by any chance watch the, we'll talk about it later with Copper and the Birdman, but did you happen to watch the hearings last night?
No way.
No, I didn't either. You know, it's as much as I'm a political junkie, I mean, I'll go home at night after spending 3 hours in the air talking and, you know, sit down to dinner and watch, you know, Tucker Carlson or something like that. And at some point I think, okay, you got to turn this stuff off. But I could not make myself watch that. In fact, I'll tell you what I did. I went and saw Top Gun last night.
Oh, nice. How was it?
Listen, I'm just going to tell you, Copper, I'm going to question your patriotism unless you go see that movie. I'm just going to tell you. It really was that good. It really, to me, you know, what was it? Was it a few weeks ago or last week or so? I did the monologue. I called it having a Top Gun attitude, and I hadn't even seen the movie yet. But that there were people that were saying when that movie came out that the response was so overwhelming that it really just seemed like it's like Americans are just hungry for the opportunity to go enjoy something that makes you proud to be an American.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest, that's what the movie did. I told a friend of mine when we walked out of the movie theater, I went last night, I said, I don't know whether I want to go home and hug my wife, salute the flag, or be in a bar fight. I don't know what I want all of it right now. I just want to get rowdy or something, but also appreciate what I got. But anyway, I'm not getting in bar fights. That's just old man fight
club.
I'm just stoked. All right, listen. We're going to come right back with number one of the Triple Dipper, What They Didn't Say. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Had a caller who called in during the break and hung on through the break, so I appreciate that. Let me just jump over there to line two and grab that. Lee from Huntsville. Lee, how you doing today?
I am doing great. I hope you're well.
I am well. Thank you so much. What can I do for you?
Well, I wanted to ask, since a court in Brazil, an electoral court, just ruled that disinformation can nullify an election and they can rescind election results, I was curious as how, you know, the whole January 6th thing is pretty much just for show, and it's to, you know, try to hurt Trump, who they've accused of misinformation. Do you think that it's possible that international rulings can affect our courts? I know you're an attorney. Or do you think that, I mean, I know in more liberal Supreme Courts in the past, they have actually mentioned international rulings, which I think is insane, but... I'm wondering, you know, if you see these things trying to head in that direction where they can literally nullify things based on a term, misinformation, which can mean anything.
No. Currently, right now, Lee, I mean, there's nothing that could come out of a foreign country in this regard that I'm aware of that could be applied. I mean, every once in a while, you'll see something in the realm of international law. But usually the parties who may be contractually obligated to something, they have to declare up front which law they're going to apply. And that's a part of their contractual, arrangement. In this case, when you're holding someone criminally liable or when you're trying to overdo something like a civil claim against an election, you're not going to be able to bring in any international law to make that happen, not that I'm aware of. You can't even cross state lines. So we call that the primary and secondary laws. For instance, in Alabama, when I go to court, I'll write a brief. If it's an Alabama state court, for the most part, 99% of the times, I'm quoting Alabama law, with the occasional where I might quote something out of the 11th Circuit or sometimes a different circuit, but even then I have to point out it's secondary law to the courts of my state. Federal law can apply across state lines, but you're not really looking at anything here that I'm aware of that says misinformation. Those kind of things have to be dealt with during the campaign. And in the aftermath, you're allowed to challenge a campaign, but there is not necessarily an international precedent that's going to step in and make a difference.
Do you think, though, that it might give Democrats some bad ideas?
Oh, I'm not saying they're not going to go, look at the neat thing that happened in Brazil. We should do that here. Politicians do that kind of craziness all the time. But then again, do we want to be Brazil? I think right now they would have a hard time getting that through the Senate. Now, Nancy Pelosi's got enough of a majority in the House. She can do anything she wants to, and she tries to all the time, but she doesn't have the Senate, and they're going to have an even harder time after the midterm elections, I think. But right now, no, I don't think we're going to see that kind of thing taking place, whether it be new laws or application of foreign laws. I don't think we'll have that. All right.
Okay.
Hey, Lee, thanks for the call. Appreciate you. All right, so listen, I am jumping for it. You want to call in, by the way. We'll make this an easy day. I don't mind just taking calls throughout. You want to talk through things? I mean, I'll wear whatever hat we have to wear, whether it be my lawyer hat, my military hat, my political hat, whatever. But anyway, 866-494-9866. That is the phone number. Glad to take those calls. I am curious too, and it's not what I'm going to talk about per se right now, In my triple dipper, but I am curious if anybody watched the January 6th hearings last night. So far, we've established that neither Copper nor I watched it. I don't know of anybody who watched it. I mean, I think I saw a few folks that I sort of, you know, tend to be aligned with here locally on Twitter saying, well, I'm out. They couldn't stomach it more than a few minutes. But, yeah, it was everything I hear, it went over like a, you know, just like a lead balloon. And anyway, anybody out there watch it, I'd love to hear your thoughts on it, good or bad. All right, so listen, I am in number one of the Triple Dipper. I'm calling it what they didn't say, what they did not say. Things that are not said sometimes are as important, really, as those that are. Like, not the least of which, and I'm going to do Bidenflation in a minute, but I got to say this. So Joe Biden went on Jimmy Kimmel the other night, something else that I've not watched. I've only been able to read and catch snippets of it. But it's just, you know, it just didn't come across well, apparently, which I kind of expected. I mean, he's not able to sort of catch the mood or create a vibe, even with a speech that is controlled and he has a teleprompter. So the idea that he's going to go on Jimmy Kimmel and suddenly be, you know, laughing Joe Biden was a bit of a stretch. I'm not sure which one of his handlers thought this would be a great idea, but I guarantee you, for what we see, too, it looks like Jimmy Kimmel gave him all the breaks in the world. But anyway, something that really caught everybody's attention, one of the things he didn't say was he really didn't address the economy except to say that it's going great. Who is advising this man? So Biden promoted the success of the economy, according to the story that I've got here on Fox that was posted today. Biden's appearance on Jimmy Kimmel Live on Wednesday night marked his first network interview in 118 days. So apparently he hadn't said a lot of things because he hadn't been making any interview opportunities available in over 118 days. Probably because he's spending too much time at his beach house in Delaware. Nonetheless, he did promote the success of the economy, but said that inflation, I'll give him some credit, he did say inflation is the bane of our existence. Well, inflation is the economy, sir. That's a part of it. You got GDP, you got the consumer, you know, price index, you got job growth, and you got wage growth, and yada, yada. You can't just say the economy's going great, but inflation sucks. It doesn't work that way. You can't detach them because the average citizen is seeing their wage earnings go down. I mean, technically, they're going up because most people have seen a percentage increase, but the cost of purchasing goods has gone up so high that wage growth is not keeping up with inflation. We're at record levels. I'm getting ahead of myself, but it's amazing what he didn't say the other night. Golly, it's so aggravating. Other things that they didn't say. I mean, we have these January 6th hearings. The January 6th hearings, and like I said, I'm curious if anybody out there in the audience watched it. But the January 6th hearings, okay, a year of so-called investigation, multiple depositions, and then at the same time, now they had a dog and pony show last night to lay it all out there for the American public to see and make decisions. Have you noticed that they've not appointed a special prosecutor? Have you noticed that? Have you noticed that nothing has gone to the DOJ for, you know, pursuit? There's been no grand jury indictments. There's been nothing so far that has come out of January 6th other than individuals who, you know, are being arrested for property and trespass-related crimes. And by the way, the level of punitive action taken against those individuals has been amazingly inequitable. You want to talk about equity all the time. How about you look at the equitable application of the law? I mean, you've got guys that shoot cops in New York City that are out on bond the same afternoon. And yet you got people that walked in the door when the security guards opened it for them and went up and down the hallways taking pictures and selfies. But since they're seen on security cameras and they were part of the mob, the insurrection mob, they're now still being detained and losing their livelihoods. But what you also have not heard, and here's the part, what they didn't say, what they also did not say was anything about the vast amount, the billions of dollars in property damage from the BLM riots the year prior. Nothing. As the whole world watched largely peaceful protests burn things down, in the name of racial equity and claims of systemic racism, you had people from the other end of the spectrum who shouldn't have done it. They shouldn't have gone in and raised Cain. They shouldn't have been shaking doorways and yelling in the halls of the Congress. It shouldn't have happened. I'm not advocating for it. I'm just saying it should not have happened. But the fact that it did is far less than the burning of this whole city blocks in cities all over this nation during the BLM riots. And you have not seen them say one thing about it. In fact, if anything, what you're seeing is an acquiescence to it, a fear of getting in the way of it. You don't have any hearings right now on BLM. None. All right, what else are we not hearing? What else we're not hearing right now? I mean, I got a stack of stuff. First of all, let's get closer to home. Our own Mo Brooks went on MSNBC the other night. Wow. I watched that one. I wanted to see how that was going to go because MSNBC, you can't predict. And I'm thinking, oh, Lord, oh, boy. You got you know the Freedom Caucus guy who's been sued by Eric Swalwell and he's going on MSNBC. How's that going to go? Well, it went pretty freaking well in my opinion from you know looking at it from the perspective of a conservative. Headline here on Washington Examiner. What they didn't say, MSNBC host shuts down Mo Brooks' challenge to debate the 2020 election fraud claim. So yeah, at one point I'm sitting there watching it. It was a rare occurrence, this article points out, that the cable news network MSNBC would even allow the discussion of January 6th from a different perspective. And the congressman, Mo Brooks, actually challenged Chris Hayes, the host, to a debate on the matter. He literally, here's what he said. If you want to spend a lot of time debating that subject, I'll take you on toe-to-toe, Brooks said. After which the guy Hayes said, there's nothing in this world that I want less, and dismissed Brooks and went ahead and ended the interview. Whew. Okay, what they didn't say was he didn't really want to debate the issue. He just wanted to try and bait Mo Brooks with a series of kind of gotcha questions that didn't work very well. Yeah. Let me jump on the phones real quick before we run out of time for this particular segment. Line 3, Richard from Madison. Hey, Richard, Phil Williams, how you doing today?
Phil, I'm great. I love your show. I think you put on some great points, and I just wanted to highlight some more of the inequities of the justice that you were talking about.
Thank you.
Jack Del Rio, the defensive coordinator for the Washington Commanders, was fined $100,000 because he said that the January 6th insurrection was really a dust-up, and he tried to compare it to other riots that happened in other cities before.
He was fined $100,000 for speaking his First Amendment rights?
Exactly.
Wow.
Exactly.
Had not seen that. Okay.
Yeah.
I just saw it
on ticker tape. I was watching something on Brandon Marshall, and I was like, holy crap, what's going on? I had to show my wife. I was so amazed by it. It's incredible.
I thought
I'd highlight that for you.
Yeah, man. Thanks, Richard. I'm going to check that out here. I'm going to try and find that during the next break. Speaking of break, before I get to it, let me grab the next line real quick before I run out of time. George from Harvest. Hey, George, Phil Williams, how you doing today?
Hello, sir. You were talking about the BLM riots and then and whatnot. I believe that they're not pursuing the people because they're not done with them. If the red wave happens, it wouldn't surprise me if we don't have another really hot burning summer with BLM and Antifa riots.
Well, it's a good point, George. In fact, they're even right now. There's concerns about the abortion activists, if we get the decision in the next week or so saying they're overturning Roe v. Wade, that may be the next spark for unrest in the streets. Well, hey, George, appreciate you, man. I think I heard you say "hua" too, so you sound like you're a military guy. We appreciate you being in the audience. Thanks for your service, if that's the case, and you have a great day. We're up against the break, so Copper, go ahead and take us to the break before I run out of time. I'm running long, but it's good, though. I like it when folks call in. You want to call in, I'll take that call, 866-494-9866. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM 92.5 FM WVNN Phil Williams Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. So I'm in number one of the Triple Dipper. What they didn't say. Been a lot of things that they didn't say. I've covered several of them. That last one I just covered right before the last two callers was the Washington Examiner talking about the fact that, they had Mo Brooks on MSNBC, but, you know, the host, what's his name, Chris Roth, I think it was, Chris Hayes, I'm sorry, he literally didn't want to talk about the topic that he was trying to bait Mo Brooks on. He tries to debate him with gotcha questions on, you know, the January 6th and don't you feel responsible and deep in your soul as a person, as a man, don't you feel like you have some responsibility? To which, you know, Mo Brooks just goes at him and says, listen, if you want to debate that, I'll go toe-to-toe with you. No, I don't want to do that. He shut it down. Something else you're not seeing right now. And it's, you know, I on the one hand, I get it, except that I'm looking at the double standard here. What you're not seeing right now is Nancy Pelosi's husband was just arrested for DUI. Literally, arrested for DUI because he had an alcohol-induced accident. If I'm not mistaken, he drove through a stop sign, had an accident. The police came. He was arrested under the influence of alcohol. What are you hearing about that? Well, apparently the charges have been dropped. And the other thing that came out today is the police are refusing to release the body cam footage. Now, part of me says, okay, there was a day when we honored the idea that the family was, you know, sacred and that private issues were sacred. But we're in the era right now where they won't talk about Hunter Biden despite the fact that he's a severely compromised individual. They won't talk about the fact that Nancy Pelosi's husband was just arrested and appears the charges have been dropped. But yeah, if Melania had put on the wrong eyeliner, it would have been front page news on the New York Times. Washington Post would have run expose articles about her inability to coordinate fashion correctly. I mean, they mocked her when she decorated the White House in what I thought was an absolutely beautiful display for Christmas. And you know, the Trump kids, if they so much as breathed in the wrong direction, it was collusion. You know, they're all compromised. We want to know what their business dealings are. We want their taxes. And they don't want any of that. They don't want to talk about it when it's on the other side. So I'm just saying, you know what? Okay, if you're going to open that door, which what's what we call it in the practice of law, you go into court, if there's something that is technically inadmissible, but the other side opens the door, you're allowed to pursue it. I mean, the judge can rule, but you know what? That's the first thing I'd say. Your Honor, they have opened the door to that line of questioning by making certain statements. Well, folks, they have opened the door. But they don't want to talk about it when it's on their side, do they? No, that would not go over well. Here's another one that's really something. Did you realize? I hadn't realized it till today when I saw the article came out on Fox News. Just saw it right before the show started. Let me see if I can scroll back because this one is not printed out in my stack here. Is it on still? To this day, apparently. It's been, 4 or 5 days now? Biden is yet to speak on the fact that there's been an alleged assassination attempt against Justice Kavanaugh. So the guy's been arrested. He was found with multiple weapons, with zip ties, with pepper spray, with knives. He admits that he was coming here from California for the sole purpose of trying to capture and possibly assassinate Justice Kavanaugh. And President Biden has not said a word. And that, I find that amazing. I mean, even for the Biden White House that spends things like nobody's business, I find that to be amazing, is that literally this 26-year-old comes here from California to do harm to a highly ranked official, and the President of the United States won't say boo about it. And that makes no sense to me. That's a complete denial. Does he know? I mean, I guess I have to look at it now and go, does he even know? I don't know. More on that, because it's amazing what else they're not saying about that. And then I've got some stuff about what the whistleblowers reported on the baby formula shortage that's not being talked about. All right, we got plenty more where that came from. 1 hour down. How did that happen, Copper? Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Copper, you got to quit speeding up that clock. This show's going by too fast. We'll be right back.